This is the Oanda Podcast.
This is the Oanda Market Insights Podcast, talking to Oanda senior market analysts across the globe. And I'm delighted to say today we're joined by Ed Moyer in New York. Good evening from London, Ed. How are you doing?
And good afternoon from New York.
Good to hear from you again. Let's start with the big story of the week, and obviously, as we indicated last week, it was always going to be the Fed's announcements, and the Federal Reserve held benchmark interest rates near zero, but indicated that rate hikes could be coming sooner than expected, and it significantly cut its economic outlook for the year as well. A few weeks ago, we were talking about a rate rise in 2024, but now we're looking at one in 2022. So how did markets react to the FOMC comments?
Well, it took them a couple days to really get it right. The initial reaction, we saw the Treasury curve flatten. And I think that, you know, investors were starting to get a sense that, okay, they said they're going to soon start tapering. And that pretty much signals that we're going to have a formal announcement at the November 3rd FOMC meeting, and then you're going to have tapering begin in December. And I think what was very interesting was that Powell, he didn't have to, but he did signal that they could be done by the middle of next year, which really shows you that he is leaving the possibility for that rate hike to be delivered in 2022. When you take a look at the dot plots, it shows you that they're right now it's split. You know, it's either 2022 or 2023, and I think it's you really probably should expect it to be 2023. The more influential voting members are clearly dovish, so I think that will probably weigh on that. And also too, we also have some of that trading scandal from Kaplan and Rosengren. I think that there could be, those are two of the hawkish members. If let's say you have someone step down, you could see dovish reappointments. So I think you still need to anticipate that, despite, the trajectory of the economy and the improving outlook for 2022, this economy is still going to see a lot of support, and the low interest rate environment is going to be there for quite some time. So I think investors eventually gave the green light to see the Treasury curve steepen, and now you're probably going to see that's going to keep the dollar a little bit supported here in the short term. But I think it's going to be a fascinating trade, because there are risks to the outlook. If you strip out some of the more volatile pricing pressures, then it's still I think significant. I think right now the Fed is hoping that we will see some progress on that chip shortage, and right now it looks like the White House is really going to provide legislation that's going to help alleviate that. The pricing pressures, though, if you pay attention to earnings and the early reports, you're still seeing COVID affect production. I think across Vietnam, Indonesia, you're still seeing these bottleneck issues are not being alleviated. As you take a look at shipping rates, and you take a look at how you're not really making progress on getting these goods to the companies, the manufacturers. UK, a lot of buzz over your driving short truck driver shortage, and you know what? That's also happening here too. So I think inflationary pressures are growing, and I feel the expectations were that by October, November, we were really supposed to start to see things ease, and that's not the case. So the Fed can't go back and forth on inflation. So they're sticking to transitory. They're going to stretch out the definition of transitory. And I think in the end, they're going to wait to see by the end of the year. If things have not improved, then they'll probably be in a position where they'll have to act a lot sooner. And that's why you're probably going to see a lot of other central banks are going to be in a quicker mode to tighten.
Interesting what you say there about the truck drivers in the USA, because, of course, we have a big problem here with deliveries and the specter of inflation because of that. And a lot of people have blamed Brexit on the lack of truck drivers, but it does seem to be happening right across the globe in Europe and the USA. What is the reason over there? Is it a similar reason to over here where they're saying that people have actually left that sector and are going into other ones like retail and so on?
There's a plethora of reasons. I think that has been one of the key ones. I think that COVID has been very volatile. I mean, we saw it primarily in the Northeast, then it was to the South. I think that, there was no consistency for truck drivers in their positions. And I think you saw a lot of frustration there. And there was a lot more opportunities that came about. So I think you're going to see... it's going to be difficult to fill those positions unless you see significant wage increases. And right now, a lot of businesses are hesitant to do that. So I think the trucking issues will likely persist, I think. And that is just, keeps on feeding into that inflationary argument.
Yeah, it's very interesting to see people talk about how wages need to rise to support the truck drivers, otherwise they'll just not come back or they'll leave. And after many, many years of stagnating wages in that particular sector, they're suddenly saying, well, I don't want to do this job anymore because it's hard work. It's not a great deal of fun. The hours are very unsociable. You don't see your family. And it's really, really tricky. So I think for those people in working in those particular sectors which have been underpaid over the last 10 to 20 years, we could see a big change. Let's move on to another story which was pretty dominant in the middle of the week, and that was Evergrande, the Hong Kong listed shares, which tumbled nearly if you go back as far as July 2020, nearly 90%, the Chinese government cracking down on speculation now in the real estate market. The stock lost more than 20% in the last five trading days. And I think investors are watching to see if this real estate giant will be able to make millions of dollars in interest payments on dollar-denominated bonds in the coming days.
The Evergrande story has been fascinating. I think that initially there was some optimism that this was going to be contained. More importantly, I think, the base case scenario from some analysts was that, China doesn't want systemic risks. They're at a position, given the recovery, they were going to save Evergrande. Then you had the communication that no, they're telling local governments to prepare for an Evergrande collapse. And then you saw, markets go from saying we're probably going to see this contained to now traders having second thoughts on risk contagion. And then the fear of missing a U.S. bond payment shows you that this is not an easy story. It's not going to have a quick fix, and it's really weighing on sentiment. And I think there's going to be follow through angst into the weekend and into next week until we see exactly what happens, and until we know which foreign investors are holding Evergrande's debt. And I think that is going to be a key story. So I think it will likely provide some more uncertainty for next week. And I think now investors are a little bit cautious on Asia. But when you take a look over here, right now it seems that the fallout will be limited. So investors here are still remaining mostly optimistic for the U.S. stock market.
We've ended the week with a potentially massive story, really, Ed, and that's that China's central bank has announced that all transactions of cryptocurrencies are illegal, which effectively bans Bitcoin. And it's sort of come from nowhere, this announcement. China is one of the world's largest cryptocurrency markets. The price of Bitcoin has obviously fallen in the wake of the announcement by, last time I looked, around about $2,000. I don't know if it's worse than that now. What is happening with Bitcoin at the moment?
But Bitcoin is still under pressure. I think you're seeing prices down over 6% on the week, just below 42,000. And China, they're tightening the screws. I've been covering cryptos for several years, and I think You know, it started in 2017 when they outlawed an initial coin offerings. Then they banned exchanges. Then they curbed the power for miners. And that was all in, 2017, 2018. And then, the explosive growth we saw, in 2020, they said they're going to make more exchanges shut down as the Shanghai regulator wanted to keep the pressure on these firms. And then we had, this year, the State Council, they called for a crackdown on mining and trading. And then more reiteration or affirmations of the crypto bans to banks. And now this is pretty much everything they can do except for banning possession. So this is a very difficult move that will, I think, force every crypto investor in China to abandon ship. This is kind of your warning. So I think you have to remember, crypto mining has been transitioning out of China over the last few months, and I think that there's been a lot of investors that have been using VPN and getting away with still involving themselves in cryptos, and now you're probably going to see this is going to really, I think, make a lot of people think twice before they continue to hold crypto. So I think this is just very bearish for the space, just because the market was a little bit in wait and see mode over the U.S. regulation side, and now you're seeing strong selling pressure here, this China intensifying their crackdown on cryptos is nothing new, and this should have been expected. I think given where the market was, that's why we saw this very strong reaction to it. And I think you're probably going to see this is going to rattle some investors, but in the end, it really shouldn't, because China was never going to be a big part of Bitcoin and the other cryptos. They're all in on their digital yuan, and this is why they've ramped up these efforts to make sure that all these cryptocurrencies leave China. So I think it's a story that will probably, 2 months down the road, we'll say was just another buying opportunity for Bitcoin.
Okay, Ed, let's switch continents and come back to Europe, and particularly the UK. We had the Bank of England with its announcement, UK inflation expected to rise above 4%. That has been fueled additionally by rising energy costs, which we didn't really see coming. Plenty of other inflationary warnings, but this front page news we've had all week about the cost of gas, a number of companies going under, is a big story. The bank also said there were some signs that the supply chain crisis was starting to hamper the economic recovery, and has revised down its growth forecast for the third quarter by 1%. And no surprise, of course, interest rates held at 0.1%. But it looks as though a rate rise is more imminent, as with the United States, than we predicted a few weeks ago.
I think what was also fascinating, and I think we seldom get the chance to have a deep dive into the BOE, and I think Deputy Governor Ramsden, he delivered his first ever dissent. It was over the bond buying program, joining Saunders, making it a 7-2 vote. Now, that is pretty significant. I think what that did, it made markets bring forward that 15 basis point rate hike increase bet to February of 2022. So I think you're starting to see, the rate hike expectations are really starting to pick up here. Fascinating, the British pound didn't really, it's still kind of stuck between 135 and 140, closer to 136.70 right now. And I think you're going to see that until we really start to see exactly, an acceleration in that economic recovery, until we have, I think there's so many issues right now. And I think, this week, natural gas, I've never been asked so much about natural gas than any other week. And I think that, these pressures on the economy are going to remain elevated. And I think you're going to see that We're just going to be talking about inflation for quite some time now, and I think that's going to put the pressure on the BOE, I think, going forward. And right now, you know, they're targeting, you know, a slight rise above 4%, but if that's greater, then watch out. Then I think you're going to see more pressure here on the BOE. So you could see the pound strengthen. I think that's going to be a popular trade next year. But right now, I think you'll see investors are still looking for a little bit of dollar dominance in the short term.
Okay, let's talk about the week to come, Ed, and the next 7 days or so. What stands out for you? What are the highlights that we should look forward to?
There's a lot, and I'm going to try to give you the highlights. We you know, obviously we have the German election. You know, who is going to replace Chancellor Angela Merkel? I think her party right now, it's, I think they're somewhat losing in some of these polls, so it'll be interesting to see if the Conservatives lose on this one. I think there's going to be a big emphasis next week on Fed speak. We're going to have a lot of members speaking, Brainard, Williams, Evans on Monday. Tuesday, that's the beginning of the congressional grillings for Treasury Secretary Yellen and Fed Chair Powell. We're also going to get that consumer confidence data in the U.S., which is also a key gauge. I think right now the consumer has been pretty strong, and I think if we start to see signs of weakness, that could unnerve some of those consumer stocks. Wednesday, it's all about the ECB forum. We're going to hear once again from Powell. We'll hear from Lagarde, Bailey, and Kuroda. So that is, you know, must-see TV for central bank junkies. Thursday, once again, we'll hear from Fed Chair Powell and Yellen. They'll face the House. We also have U.S. PMI data. Friday, ISM manufacturing could show a deceleration in September. That's a key gauge too. So I think it's a busy week. And then the highlight, though, for me, it's got to be what's happening on Capitol Hill. Congress, we're going to try to avoid a shutdown. We're going to see if they can get that stopgap bill funding done. So that's going to be dominating the weekend and what happens next week. So quite a lot to cover. I think obviously, too, we'll see a big emphasis here on COVID. Cases are trending lower. There's expectations that we could get see that trend continue to March. So that optimism, along with the booster rollout, if there's better clarity on that, I think you're going to see growth forecasts really start to ramp up next year.
Okay, good to end on a positive note. Ed, sounds like it's going to be a very busy week. You enjoy your weekend, have a good rest, and we'll speak to you again in a week's time.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
The Oanda Podcast.